Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, some of you may have been surprised to see this in the news, or at least shocked, if not surprised. You were probably shocked to see this finally actually confirmed in the news. But one of our listeners sent this to me early yesterday afternoon, and I had already gotten a couple of articles on our website, but I was like, oh, wait a minute, I better get this big news on our Montana Talks website right now. Again, shocked, but not surprised. We are not surprised to hear it confirmed by the Department of Homeland Security that Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang, Tren de Aragua, that was taking over entire apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, is now confirmed to be in Montana. I mean, we knew it was only a matter of time before the gang's presence would be confirmed here in Montana. But according to the New York Post, the Department of Homeland Security is now confirming that Montana is one of several states. Here's a quote from that article. Homeland Security officials last week were warned in an internal department intelligence memo about TDA's growing presence across the country, most recently in Washington, D.C., Virginia, Montana, and Wyoming. Now, I think in that New York Post story, they point out that in Wyoming, there is at least one suspect behind bars, I think in Laramie County, if I'm not mistaken, that has connections to Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang that has taken advantage of our wide open southern border to come here into Montana. A report by Jamel Valencia for the National News Desk also points out that the illegal alien suspected of murdering Georgia college student Lakin Riley is also connected to Tren de Aragua. But, it's no surprise that TDA's presence in Montana is now confirmed by Homeland Security. I mean, Denver, Colorado is just a short 7 to 8 hour drive from Montana's largest city of Billings. And, of course, the state of Colorado's governor, Jared Polis, the Democrat governor down there, has been downplaying the significance of TDA's operations in his state while this problem festers. So, like I said, we've got this full story on our Montana Talks website right now. Coming up later this morning, we're going to have a couple of things for you. First off, on this very topic, Charles Marino is retired Department of Homeland Security special agent. I saw he was on Fox News talking about Tren de Aragua. So I thought, hey, what a great guy to get here on Montana Talks to talk about what they could potentially be up to here in Montana. So he's going to join us around 8:40 this morning. So that'll be coming up here later on, you know, about 2.5 hours from now. Senator-elect Tim Sheehy dropped by our Montana Talk studios just after addressing the Montana Farm Bureau convention yesterday. I'll share some of that audio with you, our early risers here, coming up right after this break. Some highlights of our conversation with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy in the House after his first trip to Washington as a senator-elect. And then later this hour, more coverage from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention. We've got a special guest joining us around 8:40 to talk about apparently some big paperwork that's required by the end of the year that a lot of farmers and ranchers don't even know about.
America.
During a speech on the Senate floor Tuesday, incoming Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota was highly critical that the 2025 National Defense Authorization Act has not been brought to the floor despite passing out of committee 5 months ago.
There's never a time when we can afford to put our national defense on the back burner or underfund our nation's military.
Senator Thune adding the delay raises the importance of a study released in July by the Bipartisan Commission on the National Defense Strategy, which stated that
the U.S. military lacks both the capabilities and the capacity required to be confident it can deter and prevail in combat.
Senator Thune referenced the continuing military push by China, saying it could change the balance of power in China's favor, and that the current geopolitical climate should be teaching us a lesson.
While we never invite conflict, we have to be prepared for it.
Given you, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the region today, as high temperature readings will stay in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, few snow showers possible in Bozeman late, as low temperatures stay back in the mid-20s. And then for Thursday, partly sunny to mostly cloudy with highs in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
What a lineup for Tuesday's Montana Talks. We had John Jackson, the Joker, in the house, plus a drop-in by Senator-elect Tim Sheehy just after he spoke to the Montana Farm Bureau. He spent several minutes with us, and the General Counsel for the American Farm Bureau joined us on Tuesday's Montana Talks as well. Coming up on Wednesday, we are going to talk judicial reform with a lawyer who serves on the committee in the Montana legislature. So that's coming up Wednesday's Montana Talks, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Senator-elect Tim Sheehy just spoke to the Farm Bureau and popped up to our studios. Senator-elect, great to see you.
Thanks for having me back. Always good to best view in town.
Does it feel weird to be called Senator-elect yet?
It sure does.
Yeah. I saw the photo of you and your wife, your lovely wife Carmen, both of you are combat veterans, in front of your new office in Washington, D.C. You already went back for orientation, and I had to give you a hard time, as fellow veterans would do. Did people think you guys were like the college interns?
Yeah, they definitely, every time we try to enter the building, you know, they want us to go through the staff line and, you know, think we're visitors or interns. But, yeah, hopefully they figured it out. But it was an interesting visit and definitely felt the gravity of the situation, but also felt you could just feel the winds change. I mean, it was a decisive mandate that we got on November 5th from coast to coast. You know, all races, colors, creeds, socioeconomic classes spoke clearly. They rejected this campaign of deception that was run nationwide. I mean, the Democrats ran on deception. I mean, now we're finally seeing what Kamala Harris is paying these celebrities, you know, millions of dollars to support her, because even they wouldn't come out and support her. Whereas Trump had celebrities doing his right thing. And of course, you know, we had the same thing here in Montana, grassroots support. So America spoke. And it's going to be fun these next couple of years, getting a lot of stuff done.
Well, I imagine the farmers and ranchers downstairs, many of them are just breathing a sigh of relief right now, because the Trump tax cuts. If the Trump tax cuts went away, that would have meant big, massive implications for farmers and ranchers, not to mention the rest of us.
I mean, the litany of issues that, I mean, any business owner, you got to remember, farmers and ranchers are business owners by definition, is breathing a sigh of relief. Because, number one, tax cuts and job tax, that's easy. You know, right off the bat, that's going to be extended, hopefully, you know, enshrined in some degree of permanence. You know, second, regulations. We've seen a regulatory environment unleashed to an extreme degree these last 3.5 years. And of course, in the farming ranching world, that is terribly impacting them, whether it's, you know, taking our public lands, moving them into conservation, whether it's, you know, expanding the environmental regulations for tractors and farm equipment, raising the cost of doing business. I mean, the list goes on. So I think that they're breathing a sigh of relief that the regulatory environment is going to shift in their favor. The tax environment is going to shift in their favor. And obviously foreign policy. Our economy is stronger when we have foreign policy that puts America first, American businesses first, American farmers first. And they know that's what they're going to get with President Trump.
Tim, I was just saying, man, I loved your response when it comes to your support for Tulsi Gabbard to serve as Director of National Intelligence. She's a fellow combat veteran. Pete Hegseth, who President Trump is nominating for Secretary of Defense, a fellow combat veteran. And yet you have people like Whoopi Goldberg and some of these others saying, oh, Pete Hegseth doesn't know anything about the military. They're saying that Trump's nominees aren't qualified, and you just punched right back at them here.
I actually wrote that myself. You know, that wasn't some, you know, consultant there. I wrote that one myself. And yeah, and the reason was, is last week I was in D.C. for my first week on the job and getting interrogated every time you turn a corner by reporters, you know, and obviously the subject of discussion was the cabinet nominees and, you know, the characterization that the establishment and the media, especially, you know, our favorite friends, you know, the New York Times, WAPO, Atlantic, and CNN is all, the characterization of these nominees is they're extreme, they're unqualified, you know, this is terrible, this is a danger to democracy. And, you know, especially when it comes to someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who I know personally, I've known her for years, Carmen and I were both on active duty station in Hawaii when she was elected to Congress. And even though she was a Democrat at the time, You could tell this was a very intelligent, driven, smart woman who was a heavyweight. Like, she was not screwing around. This was going to be somebody who was going to get things done, and always had her level of respect for her. And the way that, you know, as soon as, you know, a woman of color, combat veterans, nominated for the highest intelligence position in the land, if a Democrat had nominated her, the press would be lauding it as a historic moment for women of color, historic moment of equality. But, of course, Trump nominates her, and they are just bashing her as unqualified, a Russian. She's accused of being a Russian spy. What a disgrace by these reporters who literally are function as agents of foreign governments trying to destroy our country. They're going to accuse someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who's a combat veteran, of being a foreign agent. So I just had enough of that. That's why we wrote that press release. And I said, here's a party who's nominated, a cross-dressing kleptomaniac, to run our nuclear energy portfolio in the Department of Energy, highest level of security clearance. And then, of course, we have a transgender Health and Human Services Deputy Secretary who's advocating for child mutilation and transition surgery for, you know, for kids, taxpayer funded, of course. And they're going to call Tulsi Gabbard an extreme, unqualified candidate. Unacceptable. So I called it out for what it was. It's a total BS, and it's unacceptable.
Do you think that Washington, and that you were just back there for a few days, and more particular, that your fellow now, soon to be fellow Republican senators, do they understand how big of a mandate that you just received, that they just received, that President Trump just received, and how big of a mandate they received to carry out this America First agenda?
Yeah, no question. I think across the board, you know, even senators that, and we have to remember, you know, some of these senators that are more middle of the road, you also have to remember they represent states that are that way. They wouldn't get elected if they weren't. So in defense of folks like Susan Collins, who get a lot of flack from the right, Susan Collins is the only Republican who will ever be elected in Maine. That's just a fact. That's a blue state. And as soon as, you know, she decides not to run again, we're probably not going to have a Republican backfill. So when the votes really matter, she's there for the party, as are some of these other moderates. But they have to be able to get elected in their state. So we have to remember that. But everyone's on board. And I even talked to Susan while I was there, and she's on board. Everyone realizes the mandate was given, that the highest popular vote ever gotten by a Republican president, electoral landslide, House, Senate, it's time to get things done. And the most important thing I can do as a newly elected senator is help strap rocket boosters to the America First agenda and just get things done as fast as we can.
All right, more to follow. I've got just a couple more minutes I want to share with you here coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. And by the way, John Jackson was with us while we had the conversation with Tim Sheehy. So the three of us had a conversation kind of during one of the breaks before he had to run back down to the Farm Bureau meeting. And so if you listen to the 9 o'clock hour podcast from Tuesday, you can hear John Jackson's reaction to the conversation and much more. All right, a couple more minutes with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy coming up after this, and then live coverage from the Farm Bureau convention this hour.
This is House Call for Health. Researchers find that walking more could add as much as 11 years to your life. Experts from Griffith University in Australia and other worldwide institutions looking at data from the National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey. Americans ages 40 and older wore activity monitors for at least 4 days. Researchers found for those who had the lowest level of activity, every hour of walking for the group could add more than 6 hours to their life. And if these individuals became as active as the top 25% in the population, it could add up to 11 years to life expectancy. The findings indicate even small increases in physical activity can provide substantial benefits. But they did highlight increasing activity at the population level would mean considering social determinants like creating walkable neighborhoods, green spaces, and more. The study was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the region today, as high temperature readings will stay in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, a few snow showers possible in Bozeman late, as low temperatures stay back in the mid-20s. And then for Thursday, partly sunny to mostly cloudy with highs in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
When RFK Jr. was announced as President Trump's nominee to head up the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I knew one of the first people to reach out to would be Dillon, Montana rancher Brian Massard. Brian Massard is a former Montana Stock Growers president and markets his Reminis Angus beef products, but he's been in daily contact with RFK Jr., and he thinks the RFK nomination is very good news for the beef industry. Full audio, MontanaTalks.com. Did you?
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, this week, Montana Farm Bureau members are meeting in Billings for their annual convention and trade show. And yesterday, MFBF President Cindy Johnson told me that in addition to setting the organization's policy for the coming year, they're also talking about some very important ag issues, like getting a new farm bill that's long overdue.
That will be our primary push. Come the first of the year, we'll have our national convention. National delegates will meet and review all the policies that came from the states. But also, we're going to be working, lobbying our congressmen and our senators to work as hard as they can to get that farm bill done. There's got to be some kind of security in place. Farming and ranching is tough, but it's even tougher without some good risk management tools and some kind of programs to help farmers and ranchers through the many disasters that they experience all year long. We haven't had a good disaster funding program for 2 years. We haven't had a farm bill for 18 months. And that kind of uncertainty does not play well with farmers and ranchers who are trying to make serious decisions for their future.
And Montana U.S. Senator-elect Tim Sheehy agrees.
It's about time we pass a farm bill, and it's about time we put more farm in the farm bill. At this point, ag's only, you know, I think less than a fifth of what the farm bill is going to be. And that's challenging because it makes it hard for us to ensure agriculture priorities are at the core of the farm bill. So we got to get more farm in the farm bill, but it starts with passing a farm bill so our farmers and ranchers can have certainty what's ahead for them.
And, of course, Farm Bureau members from across Western Ag Network country will be joining others from across America in San Antonio, Texas, this coming January for the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. For more information and to get registered, visit FB.org. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hi, I'm agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe with a few reminders. The December 2nd deadline for 2025 pasture, rangeland, and forage insurance is almost here. Don't miss out. Join me and Sylvius Insurance at the Montana Stock Growers Convention in Billings on December 5th, where I'll share a 2025 weather outlook during the opening general session. While you're there, visit the Sylvius booth to explore risk management tools for your operation. Connect with the Sylvius team and enroll in PRF by December 2nd at raininst.com.
Join us for the Montana Stock Growers Association's annual convention, December 4th through the 6th in Billings. Celebrating 140 years, stock grower members will come together to discuss important issues and make decisions that will determine their statewide policy. Hear industry-leading speakers like Chief Meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, Greg Dowd giving a market outlook, and even Neville Spear discussing profitability. It's a cattle industry event you don't want to miss. For more information and to register, please visit mtbeef.org. Well, a recently finalized rule to classify forever chemicals as toxic substances has angered a lot of agricultural groups that say the rule creates forever liability for farmers and ranchers who aren't responsible for those chemicals in the environment. Earlier this month, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce sued the U.S. EPA, alleging that the agency didn't consider the potential costs of the rule, asking the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit to vacate EPA's action. The farm groups say they represent producers who are passive receivers of the chemicals and under EPA's new rule could be subject to crippling liability. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The biggest concern a lot of people have right now is what do they do between now and January 20th, that these next 2 months? I mean, does Joe Biden potentially have us on the brink of World War III? Is he going to do some last-minute land
designations? Well, I don't know if you were following the blow-by-blow last night late, but Chuck Schumer is trying to jam through a whole docket of left-wing judicial nominees, just trying to jam it through at the last minute. So I think, frankly, the next 2 months, we're going to be playing defense, you know, and I think, you know, John Thune, obviously, as a new Republican leader last night, was doing a great job kind of playing parliamentary defense to make sure that Schumer wasn't able to use these back doors to sneak judicial nominees through. So, you know, we'll see. But I think the most important thing in the next couple months is really to try to make sure we don't let any last-minute tricks get snuck under the rug on the way out.
Yeah, I saw that Fox News headline, Senate GOP initiates Thune-engineered slowdown as Schumer looks to stack judicial votes. Yep. It's these left-wing federal judges that have been killing the timber industry in Montana, going after ag, going after oil, gas, and coal. And so that's where we have new opportunity with new blood like you being in there to get some newer federal judges on the bench.
That's exactly right. And, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that's a key role of senators is, you know, the U.S. attorneys, the judges, making sure that our judicial responsibilities adhere to the Constitution. And that's one of the most insidious efforts that we've seen come from the left in America here these past, you know, decades, but really especially the last few years, is a very concerted effort to, I mean, we heard of, they want to pack the Supreme Court, they want to reform the Supreme Court, that they've tried to place from Soros-funded DAs all the way through, you know, appointed U.S. attorneys and district judges, a very active judicial activism play to basically put these left-wing attorneys and judges in place. So that's a very important role of the Senate is to be a filter on that, to make sure that, listen, I don't want a Republican judge. I don't want a Democrat judge. I want a judge or an attorney that's going to adhere to the Constitution of the United States. That is their job. And I will wait to be judged by the Constitution or by God, but that is the job of an attorney and a judge. And that's what we need to prioritize.
You know, it's crazy. I was there 2:30 in the morning on election night, or the election next day, next morning. That's when you gave your speech. Two nights later, you're at the Montana Family Foundation. Now you're at the Montana Farm Bureau. You haven't even gotten a break yet. No breaks yet. The only easy day was, was it yesterday? Was it 2 years ago? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, who knows? But, you know, I mean, I've been hired for a job. As I tell people, Montana's hired me to do a job, and I'm going to do the best I possibly can. Whether I get reelected or not, whether I'm the most popular or not, I'm going to do what's right for our state and for our country, and that means getting to work right away.
All right, there you go. That was audio of our chat with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. And if you want to hear John Jackson's take on the conversation, including some of what we talked about even during the commercial breaks with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, John Jackson was in studio with us. Again, download the Montana Talks app, same app you use to send us a message. Click that little on-demand button there, and all 4 hours of the show every day is uploaded there. But you can listen to the full 9 o'clock hour from yesterday when John Jackson, the Joker, stuck around with us. And it was fun having him with us when the general counsel from the American Farm Bureau Federation joined us in studio as well to mix it up on the legal front. All right, speaking of judges, stand by. Tim Sheehy about federal judges and federal judicial appointments. The Republicans and the newly elected Majority Leader John Thune have been doing everything they can to try to slow walk any efforts by the Democrat-controlled lame duck Senate to push through these nominees. We're going to talk judicial reform here in Montana later on in the 9 o'clock hour. One of the private sector attorneys who serves on a legislative committee is going to be with us in studio. So that'll be an interesting conversation later this morning in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show. Senator Steve Daines spoke at the leadership press conference yesterday. Here's part of that audio.
Hi, I'm Steve Daines. My pronouns are Republican majority. I have a simple message for Chuck Schumer and for Bob Casey. It's over. Dave McCormick is the next U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania. Senator Casey has taken election denial to another level, but it didn't work. Despite losing by nearly 20,000 votes, despite the fact the AP and Decision Desk have called the race for Dave McCormick, Senator Casey is refusing to concede. And in the end, he not only denied the legitimate results of this election, he advocated for lawlessness to overturn it. In fact, just yesterday, he wrote in the Patriot News that ballots that were unsigned should be counted. Under this kind of logic, where does it stop? Even a commissioner in Bucks County went so far as to say, and I quote, "People violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, is because I want a court to pay attention." This is a dangerous precedent. Unfortunately, the left-wing Pennsylvania Supreme Court put an end to this nonsense yesterday. Senator Casey and his Democrat allies, on the other hand, hurt the public's trust in our institutions with their lawless election denial gambit. Any Democrat who went along with them or refused to speak out is complicit. Dave McCormick is the 53rd Republican U.S. Senator. Senator Casey should concede immediately.
All right, that's the race that, of course, puts it at 53 Republican senators coming up in January when they're all officially sworn in. By the way, Senator Daines has three separate bills he's working on right now that are one step closer to becoming law. One of those bills is a bill that would fight to keep the Bull Mountain mine south of Roundup up and running. So that one, apparently, it sounds like it's seeing some progress moving forward here during the lame duck. All right, we should have a guest from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention joining us right after this. But if not, we'll sneak in a couple of phone calls here right after this. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, if you're somebody who wants to call in on this show, stand by. Or if you want, give us maybe a call back in about 10 minutes or so, and we can sneak you on. But this is a very important topic, not just if you're a farmer rancher, but any of you who have your own LLC. In fact, I was just asking Gina Stevens, is an accountant here in Hardin, Montana, and she's on the tax committee for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. But yeah, we were talking about this new form that farmers and ranchers, this new paperwork that they have to fill out. And I said, oh yeah, and then if you got an LLC, you got to fill out some stinking paperwork. Now she's like, same thing. Same thing. Gina Stevens, great to have you in studio with us here this morning. Thanks for popping up.
Thank you, Aaron.
How's the Farm Bureau Convention going thus far?
It's great. We got some great speakers. We had some great sessions yesterday, and we're looking forward to doing some resolution work today.
I forget who it was, if it was one of our colleagues here with the radio stations, but they said, yeah, I was riding the elevator up with one of these guys, and they're just the chattiest, nicest people ever. I said, yeah, well, they're out on the farm and ranch all year long. This is their chance to see people for a change.
Exactly.
And they're just salt of the earth good people, too, so it's always fun.
Yes, these are great people to hang out with.
So it's called the BOI form, and it's part of FinCEN. What the heck is this paperwork that the federal government is now forcing not just farmers and ranchers to fill out, but pretty much anybody with an LLC?
Pretty much, yeah. The big guys, like $5 million and over in assets, have been filling these out for years. But they've decided that they want to make sure that none of you have the Chinese government in your back pocket financing your small farm or ranch. So they are asking everybody else now that has an LLC and pretty much any entity that is registered with the Secretary of State has to file. And it's actually a simple form. You go onto the FinCEN website and fill out the BOI report. You do have to upload your driver's license, but other than that, it's a pretty simple deal. But you have to report all the ownership of whatever entity you have. And I've been kind of surprised that I go around and talk to some of the farm and ranch organizations around here and the lack of their having heard of this. And I understand, because anytime it's in an article, it starts out in a totally different way that doesn't catch your eye. I mean, I went by it several times before I finally understood that, hey, this really pertains to a lot of people I know. And what I'm really afraid of is that there are a number of farmers and ranches that formed an LLC years ago, kind of forgot about it, mom and pop, you know, and the lawyer said, oh, do an LLC, and they registered it with the state, and then they don't do anything with it, they kind of forget about it. Well, that's exactly who's targeted here. And if you forget, it's a $571 a day starting January 1st.
No matter how small your LLC, you could maybe make $500 a year out of that LLC. But if you don't fill out this federal form, they're going to charge you $500 a day. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. If you're registered with the state Secretary of State, you've got to file this thing. And it's, yeah, it's a substantial fine for not doing so. So I'm trying to get the word out.
It's so crazy the amount of paperwork that the federal government dictates that people have to fill out. Like even just with our radio station, for example, they want these quarterly reports submitted. And it's like, for Pete's sake, give me a break. And it's like, do they think people just have all the staff in the world? We're not the freaking government here. We don't have all the staff in the world to do your paperwork all day long. But they just think people have all the time in the world because they got all the time in the world, apparently. So
exactly. Yes, it is kind of it's not a very good thing to have to do, but they are requiring it, and it's a little bit intrusive, you think, but they actually have the same information on the Secretary of State website, so they're not really gaining any. I'm not sure why they can't just pull it off of that, but they're.
That's what I don't mean. Why don't they just get the? Because when I filled out the LLC paperwork, they'll ask you who's the owners. If it's you that are the sole, proprietor, basically, or if you've got multiple owners that are part of that LLC. So why can't they just request this information from the Secretary of State's office instead of request it from hundreds of thousands of Montanans to now have to go try to figure out how to do all this during the holidays while they're trying to figure out year-end taxes and everything else.
Yes, correct. I agree 100%, but they aren't. And I guess the only good thing about this deal is that it's a one-time filing, so it's not an annual filing.
That's good to hear.
So
they
only have to do it once. So that is
one and done. Okay.
One and done, yes.
Now, I think my accountant kind of gave me a heads up on this one. Most people, if they have an accountant or a CPA, would this be something that their CPA or accountant would try to flag for them? Or
well, it would be nice if they did. We're trying to inform all of our clients about it that we know of. Unfortunately, your accountant CPA cannot file it, because it is considered a legal entity matter. And so a lawyer or someone who is a registered for doing legal things has to file it if you don't want to do it yourself.
And where do you then send this in this paperwork to? It's a one pager, if I remember right?
Yes. Okay. And it is online. It's really easy to do online. Like I say, you only have to upload one thing. So it's fairly easy to fill out online. And you just go to the FinCEN website and click on file a BOI report. If you want to, I do believe you can also do it paper and fill it out. And I don't remember if you upload it then or where you send it. I've been doing it. All the people I've been talking to have been doing it online.
So. Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like the simplest way to do it. And so you have to upload your driver's license, huh,
correct.
Too. Yeah,
yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the real ID, though. It can be the old school.
Any old school, yep.
Any old school driver's license. You know, it's funny, too. So because it sounds like this was well-intentioned. You know, they're trying to figure out Chinese foreign ownership because there's been a lot of, as we know, this is a concern that Farm Bureau has been raising, stock growers have been raising, we've been raising about the concern about farmland owned by, the communist Chinese or foreign ownership just period, especially from some concerning actors out there. And so, but it's just interesting to me that the state of Montana, our legislators have already moved and acted, and they put a ban on, Chinese ownership of land, especially near sensitive military installations. So our legislature already acted and got that job done. And yet the feds, they still haven't done anything on that as far as the last I heard. So, but boy, they want us to fill out a bunch of paperwork, don't they?
Yes, they like paperwork. I don't know if anybody ever sees it, but they like paperwork.
Yeah. So are you giving an update at the Farm Bureau convention then, or did you already give one?
I've given some to some meetings I've been at, and I contact our media contact and get the word out in our news briefs and spokesmans and such like that. So I've just been trying to contact as many ways I can to get people to remember to do this.
Yeah, well, it was great. Yesterday we had the Deputy General Counsel for the American Farm Bureau Federation in studio with us. Rebecca Colnar was nice enough to bring him up here as well. And somebody messaged us on our Montana Talks app asking about this very thing. So I said, well, stand by. We'll have an update for you because I had a good idea that you might come up to join us here. What else is standing out to you just from your perch as an accountant, but also somebody with a farm and ranch background? You grew up in Kirby, Montana?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, which is, of course, great country. What else is standing out to you in terms of things that people are talking about during the Farm Bureau Convention right now?
Right now, they're really excited about hoping to get a farm bill passed. They're hoping they've got some backing now and a little more impetus to get that done. And so that's kind of top of the topic there. And some changes within the Farm Bill basically is the top priority.
Yeah, I heard Tim Sheehy and Russell Nimitz's report was talking about wanting to make the Farm Bill more farm-focused and less, you know, everything else focused down the road. 1,300 pages, if I heard right. Debbie Stabenow, the Democrat Senate out of Michigan, just released a text earlier this week. I wonder if folks have had a chance to pour through the 1,300 pages of that one yet.
Well, they've had several years, so hopefully they've gotten through at least most of it.
Yeah. Well, great to see you. Any year-end tax tips here as we get... It's already almost Thanksgiving.
Crazy. It is. Please get your bookkeeping and your accountant. They're looking for it.
I was going to say, don't wait till, like, you know, the day after Christmas. Oh, hey, accountant. It's like, oh, really? Or like, you know, April 12th to reach out to your accountant. Like hit them up now, get them everything they need now, and then you don't have to be, you know, lighting their hair on fire here at the end of the year.
So. Exactly.
Well, great to see you. Thanks for popping up and joining us on Montana Talks.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you. Hey, we'll get to your phone calls here right after this Sean Hannity commentary, 406-294-0970. I know Tim and Steve called in earlier. Definitely want to hear from you guys. You know, you talk about filling out paperwork. Doesn't that just sound painful? Oh, some more paperwork. Well, some of you are thinking, okay, that's figurative pain. I've got literal pain. I've got pain in my hips. I've got pain in my knees. I've got pain in my lower back. I could feel Mike Tyson's pain when he couldn't, you know, quickly jump around the boxing ring the other night. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's you, if you're looking for lasting relief and you're looking to avoid surgery, you're looking to avoid those pain pills, or you don't want any steroid shots, I'm telling you what, give a phone call to QC Kinetics. They're on the ground here in Montana. The consultation is free. You can use HSA dollars. You can use FSA dollars to pay for their services if it's something you decide to move forward on. This is all natural regenerative medicine. QC Kinetics, free consultation, 406-201-6263. That's 406-201-6263.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The DA's office did propose December the 9th as the deadline for their upcoming filing, which will, quote, consider the possibility of dismissing the case. Judge Mershon was slated to decide today whether a Supreme Court ruling grants Trump immunity from prosecution, and it does. And they had testimony from the time that he was president that was brought before that jury. This case is done. It is cooked. It is over. It is finished. The only reason Alvin Bragg would want to keep it alive is because politically he's in an elected position, is that liberal New York City would like that he's persecuting Trump.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
When you're hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. This made us wonder, what if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
Escape rooms? Elementary. And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Simple. So, see what the world is like when ZipRecruiter does the hard work of hiring for you. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Population movement has been at the core of American history for centuries, yet many of us profess to be unhappy about it. To judge from the propaganda of political ads, those who stay put are to be celebrated, while those who have arrived elsewhere are not. Of course, the data show that roughly half of Montanans were born in other states, which makes it quite likely that many of the folks producing those cynical ads were born somewhere else as well. But behind these crude sentiments is the notion that new people, immigrants if you will, bring costs that those of us who already live here must bear. And that, as it turns out, is a question that lends itself well to analysis. Most of the research says that new residents add to the economic pie, especially when you take a longer view over second and third generations, and even more so with the tight labor markets of today. The worst-case scenario, a new low-skill immigrant with less than high school education can have more costs than benefit, but if their arrival helps a business expand, the cost disappears.
Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, good. We got at least one of the callers back who tried to call in earlier. It looks like, earlier, I think Travis had shot me a note. Hey, Tim in Billings wants to talk about the Trump nominees for his cabinet positions and more. And then Steve in Ballantyne wanted to talk about the Matt Gaetz nomination for attorney general in particular. We got Tim in Billings back on the line. Tim, thanks for calling back in. What's your thoughts?
Good morning, Aaron. I want people to think about this. If they have any trepidation about, you know, Trump's selections for these appointments, he's had 4 years to really go through the entire roster of people that he thinks he would want in these positions. They've had time to look into every little dark corner of these people's lives, and it's not like he's up there just throwing a dart at a board of pictures of, you know, who he wants. They've had time. They've researched this. These are the people that Trump really wants. And he has the mandate. And I just would hope that the more moderate Republicans out there would realize that, you know, this is how you move forward. This is how you move our country forward to do the things that Trump wants to do. You don't bicker and fight. You don't do this infighting, and you don't take your ball and go home and cry like a little crybaby when you don't get your way or you didn't get the appointment you wanted or your best buddy didn't get the slap on the back from the boss like he thought he should.
Yeah, well, and especially when, okay, some of these moderate Republicans, you gave Barack Obama the appointees he wanted. You gave Joe Biden the appointees he wanted. Look at what a train wreck Joe Biden's appointees have been. Yeah, no, great point. Tim, thanks for the call. A couple minutes left to go before we wrap up the hour. Nancy in Roundup as well. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Before we get into the dreadful conversation about the Venezuelan gangs here in Montana, I knew it was going to happen. I'm not shocked. I have to repeat something that Vivek Ramaswamy said last night. And on Twitter, he has a video up, and he said that he and Elon Musk are going to present the American people with a birthday gift, July the 4th, 2026. Our country will be 250 years old. That is a smaller government, and he was really good in this video. But these gangs, you know how I stand on that. I have said for a long time to use bounty hunters. And also, we could get a militia going. We have so many retired veterans in our state and Navy SEALs. We have Navy SEALs that carpet the state of Montana, and I am so happy. I'm going to do some phone calling later on to our attorney general and to some other people, elected officials, and make these suggestions. We could get a task force and just wipe these people out. I mean, I am just horrified that they are in our state because, you know, I've been dealing with illegal immigration since the 1980s. I know what the crimes they commit against humanity. I am just sick to my stomach to think that these savages are here. I am just right out there, you know. I am just so upset over this.
Yeah, I hear you. No, it's, well, and thankfully, you know, we've got, you know, Tom Homan and President Trump coming back January 20th. Can't come soon enough, though, because Yeah, it's now been confirmed for those of you who missed it earlier. Full story on our Montana Talks website. The violent Venezuelan prison gang, Tren de Aragua, it's now confirmed they have a presence in Montana.
I'm Eben Brown. What's going to be different for firearms owners and Second Amendment rights going forward with a new Trump administration? Could be a number of things. The former and future President Trump, since securing his presidential win, is now signaling he will push for nationwide reciprocity of firearms licenses. That could mean each state would need to honor, in some way, permits issued by other states. Like driver licenses, sort of. A number of states already have reciprocity agreements, though they require permit holders from one state to adhere to the laws of the state they currently find themselves. But yes, it could ultimately mean one day one could carry in New York City with a Florida-issued concealed weapon or firearm license. One would expect New York State and or city to file suit over such a thing. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.